Okay, I think this morning I set up our time together with something, the prophecy that Jesus was given in Luke 4, or he says to the synagogue in Luke 4 of what he was sent to do, which is really what we are sent to do as his disciples as well. But we want to make it really practical of how to make disciples like Jesus did and just do what he did. And so we'll give you some real practical handles on that for yourself and for your church, your ministry, whatever that may be. But we want to just really quickly follow this narrative of how did Jesus go and make disciples through the Holy Spirit leading. And I'm not going to have you flipping through Luke 3 through 10, but I'm just going to tell a quick narrative to show a theme that Jesus continued to model for his disciples and one that we can take and apply to our own disciple making today. So real quickly, in 4 minutes, let's look through Luke 3 through 10 real quick, where Jesus is first called into his ministry in Luke 3. And he goes out into the wilderness, and he's tempted, comes out victorious, full of the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 4, we see him in the synagogue, and he stands up to tell of this prophecy in Isaiah, which, does anybody know kind of the themes of that prophecy? The Son of Man has come, or I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, set the captives free, heal, all these things. And then he kind of drops a mic here and sits down, and people are like, what is going on? But really, we see two main themes here in this prophecy. He said, I've come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom has come and to heal. And so we see that everyone is not quite keen on what he has to say, drives him out, but he passes through them. And he immediately starts to implement what he was sent to do. Jesus is really quick to obey the Holy Spirit leading. And we see him right after this go and cast out a demon, heal a person, and it continues to draw attention. And we see here, after this scenario, him in a home healing Peter's mother-in-law, right? And more than likely, if he's in someone's home, what did he receive to get there? An invitation, probably, yeah. So he heals mother-in-law, she starts serving them, and then all night people are coming for healing, just like he said he was going to do from this prophecy. And after this, he does something which I wish I had the capacity to do. He goes and prays and spend time in intimacy with the Father. His early disciples that aren't yet quite his disciples come to find him, telling him, Lord, there's more. They want to come get healed from you. But he says something really keen or really important here. Instead of building his mega healing ministry right here in Simon Peter's home, he says, we must go on to the next town because that is what I was sent to do. And so here we see him continuing out and proclaiming and healing, and now some disciples are following him in Luke 5. And so we see this kind of theme also start to arise here early on, is this kind of person of peace or this house of peace with Simon Peter's home. And in Luke 5, we see another account of this whenever he comes and sees Levi, the tax collector, and says, follow me. And immediately the next thing that happens is they're in Levi's home and he's having a party for all these tax collectors, all these sinners. And so Jesus, our king, our strategist, proclaim and heal. And now this kind of like find people of peace thing is starting to arise in Luke 5. And so we get to Luke 6, where he's proclaimed and healed, and he's prayed, and he's now calling his early disciples together close, his 12, to then teach them more deeply. And he gives them here the Beatitudes, which are just the kingdom principles of how to live in the kingdom, because that's his message. The kingdom has come now. So we got Jesus pulling his disciples close in. And Luke 7, if you just look at the whole chapter, it's basically proclaim and heal, proclaim and heal. We get the story of the sinful woman that cries at Jesus' feet here. And then in Luke 8, we get this narrative of what he's been doing the past 4 chapters. It zooms out, and Luke is now telling us what is going on, where it says Jesus in his ministry is going from town to town doing what?
Proclaiming
and healing. And he's got these women following him, supporting his ministry. But it's like he takes a pause to zoom out and say, hey, this is reminding the readers here what is going on. There's a theme of Jesus' ministry for us to start to follow. And so here in Luke 8, again, he's proclaiming and healing. And on Luke 9, we see him do something really special and unique, which is a releasing of his disciples to go do exactly what he is going to do. So in the first few verses of Luke 9, he tells his disciples, I'm giving you power and authority to do what?
Heal the sick.
Heal the sick. Proclaim that the kingdom has come. Here, guys, go. You can go do it. And so he sends out the 12 to go proclaim and heal. And also something, again, finding people of peace. Because when they come back and report all that they had seen, what do they have with them? In Luke 10, we get this narrative of a further narrative of what exactly is going on and what Jesus is teaching them. And he teaches them about this people of peace, right? Because we know there's probably some people of peace because they come back with 70 or 72 others. And so now in Luke 10, we've got the 12, we've got the 70, possibly 72 others. And Jesus goes into more of a narrative of what these guys, his disciples, are meant to go do. Hey guys, I'm sending you out to places I'm about to go. This is what you're going to go do. Heal the sick, go proclaim the kingdom has come. And look for this special person, this person of peace, who, as you tell the message of the kingdom, they receive it and they welcome you in. You, the messenger, the message. And this becomes your base of operation now. As you look and do the ministry of bringing the kingdom, you go proclaim, you heal, and you find these people of peace to establish the kingdom there. And so Luke 3 through 10, we have this amazing image of what Jesus was sent to do and how he modeled it very, very clearly. Go proclaim and heal. And he sent his 12 to go do the same. And immediately, next chapter, we've got 72 others doing the same thing. And he told them in Luke 24, the Great Commission, which we all know and love, he told them, hey, I've finished all things, and I have all authority. Go and make disciples of all nations. We know what the Great Commission says. But then he said, wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And it's like he puts a book in on his ministry here, because when he first started, he's full of the Holy Spirit, going to obey what the Father sent him to do. Puts a book in on it, says, wait for the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts we see them up in the upper room, the Holy Spirit falls, and they receive this power. What do you think they're going to do, and what do we see them doing whenever this happens?
Proclaim,
heal, find people of peace, bring the kingdom. And it's so amazing to see that Jesus is our King, he's the Son of the living God, but he's also our strategist. Like, he did things in a way that his early disciples could see him model, go implement themselves, and now we carry on this Great Commission mandate in the line of what he's already done. Isn't that amazing? So proclaim, heal, find people of peace. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we can do. But he also did it in a very special way of bringing the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. But before we talk about that, just so we can continue to stay awake this afternoon, it's challenging after lunch, turn to a partner and just explain or just talk about one thing that stood out to you from the narrative of Luke 3 through 10, or what just kind of struck your spirit. Just turn to a partner and just briefly talk about that. Yeah, I just wanted to create like a smooth transition.
Will you draw for me?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to cut us off. Don't worry, we're going to have lots of time to turn to each other and implement what we're hearing, because this is a part of why we share Jesus' strategy, is to point out the fact that he was completely spirit-filled, right? And he told us, don't even begin your ministry until Acts 1:8 happens, right? He intends for us to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do things. But that does not mean that he was not a strategist and had a plan and was a fan of simple ways that were so reproducible that as he modeled them, he knew that his disciples behind them would be able to do the same thing. And not only that, but to raise up others. Paul understood this, right? Because he tells Timothy, what you've heard me teach you in the presence of many witnesses, teach to faithful men who will teach others also, right? So we're a fan of how Jesus was not just a teacher and a modeler, but he was so keen on his tools being simple so they could be reproducible. His tools of proclaiming the kingdom of God by performing wonders and walking into new places and finding the people who were open. So we love to look at Mark 4, 26 through 29. Pop that up on your iPhones or open your Bibles to that, because this is when Jesus is giving us a parable to understand what the kingdom of God is like. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is as if a farmer goes out and he scatters seed. And night and day, he sleeps, he rises, he doesn't know how, but the seed begins to grow. First the head, someone help me here, blade, the stalk, oh gosh, now they're all different. First the blade, then the grain, then the full grain in the ear, there we go, or stalk. Then when it's time and the stalk has reached maturity, the harvest immediately takes out his sickle and gathers it in because the harvest has come. Okay, this is Jesus saying this is the kingdom of God. So I'm going to go ahead and argue that this is Jesus' strategy for kingdom growth. It's at least one thing we can learn about the kingdom of God is that it grows and it grows in a pattern. So much so that he points to an earthly pattern to teach us about how it grows. Okay? So what is the first step to the kingdom of God growing? The farmer going out, right? Before he even scatters the seed, the farmer's first thing is that he steps out into the field. The next thing the farmer does is what? Scatters the seed. He scatters the seed. And then the farmer's favorite part of his job comes about. He goes to sleep. He goes to sleep. Night and day he rises. He doesn't know how. But what happens next?
Some starts to grow.
The seed starts to grow. Some of it does. And there's an order to it. First the stalk, then the grain, then the full grain in the ear. And then immediately the harvester knows when it's reached maturity because he takes his sickle and he what?
Bundles it up.
The harvest has come. Okay, this is the kingdom of God. Who is the farmer? It's scary, right? Because your first temptation is like, oh, is it Jesus? But it isn't, because the farmer doesn't know how the seed grows. Is there anything that the Holy Spirit of God does not know? Okay, so we get to take that answer out, and now we know it's us. We are the farmers in this parable. Just allow me, okay? We're the farmers. We're going out. So therefore, what is this seed that the farmer sows? The word of God. We get that later on, don't we, in the parable of soils. The seed is the word of God. So therefore, if we're sowing seeds of the word of God, what are we sowing into? The heart of man. Okay, soil. And we know there's different types of soil. We just know that the seed is the word of God sown into the hearts of man. And so as the seed begins to grow, what does that metaphor point to? It's that some people will accept the word of God, right? And some of the seeds don't. But some will, and some will grow. I would call that a growing disciple, a baby disciple, a new believer. They're growing. Notice that the farmer does not know and doesn't understand which soil will cause the seed to grow or not. He doesn't know. He just knows some grow and some do not. Okay? There is an unseen doer pushing this entire thing forward. The farmer loses control, but he does not leave the scene. Night and day, he goes back and he tends to his plants, but he does not have control. Who has control? The Holy Spirit is the only one that causes this to move forward. So let's, in a seminar that's about tools for making disciples, let's go ahead and take the weight off of our shoulders and say, we cannot bring people into the kingdom of God based off of our own authority and power. It is the Holy Spirit, but we sure as heck do have some controllables here. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so some grow. That's what discipleship is. It's the farmer spending time with his plants. As he goes to sleep and he wakes up because he's weak, he's a farmer, we're not God, he spends time with his plants. That's discipleship. And when they reach maturity, he brings them together. What do we call a gathering of people who love Jesus? Church. Okay, great. So the kingdom of God starts with one person going out and sowing seed and ends with a church. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? That is consistent with his character of establishing the kingdom of God on the earth. In a real harvest, where do you get the seed for the next season?
From the church.
From the previous harvest, from the church. You're just ahead. You quite literally take seed from the head of the last harvest and bring it forward to continue it season by season. That means that the laborers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. So where do the laborers come from? When Jesus sends the 72 out, he tells them not to pray that there would be hearts open. He tells them to pray that there would be more laborers for the harvest. So what he's telling them to go into lost areas. That's like saying, go into Uzbekistan and ask God for laborers. We know for sure he's saying the laborers are coming from there, right? So he's saying, go out into the harvest, not with the intent that you're begging God that someone will believe, but that from the harvest, more laborers. That means this is continuing because people are coming to faith in Jesus and becoming laborers themselves. That's what we want to see, isn't it? That's multiplication. Hallelujah. The only way I'm going to be able to have any part of this is if there is a simple, reproducible way for me to start here. We often say we're in the slow group. We need slow group tools. So simple they can be reproduced by a brand new believer. How do I even begin as a harvester? How do I even begin? How do I take my first step into the field? Colin's broken it up into those four phases. Stepping into an empty field. Stepping into your neighborhood. Stepping into your office. Stepping into your family gathering of lost family members. How do I even begin? All the way through to how do I share the gospel? Okay, if some of them are interested, how am I going to spend time with them and teach them about the ways of Jesus and his kingdom? And how am I going to gather, what is this local expression of church going to look like? And then all the way through to how I help them do the same thing. Worth mentioning, before I have you retell what I just said, worth mentioning that there is an unseen doer that is controlling the motion of all of this. And it is not us, right? It's the Holy Spirit. We've clarified that. There is no tool for forcing the Holy Spirit to work. So we do go to places where we don't see fruit, right? Jesus did. Okay. However, he does give us a promise. You don't have a tool for forcing the Holy Spirit, but he can tell us that if you abide in me, you will see fruit. If you don't abide in me, you will see nothing. You can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Where does the fruit come from? The branches. So he does intend for us to have fruit. He does. But we cannot produce it apart from him. And so, honestly, the secret is that abiding in Jesus is really our best tool that we have. And so none of this happens if we're not abiding in Christ. But the name of this session was After the Power. So we're assuming step one is taken care of right now. And so what today we're talking about is what is an example of a simple tool for entry. I'm going to pause there because I can keep going. What we really want you to do is to re-explain this diagram and what it means using Mark 4, 26 through 29 to your partner. Because it's all well and dandy for us to stand up here, but again, it's meant for you to recreate. So, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna move on.
Okay, great. Clear as mud? Great, it sounds like y'all are doing a great job explaining it to one another, so you can train. Y'all go ahead and just train us. I've added some terms here to help us clearly visualize how we can partake in Jesus' strategy for kingdom growth here. If you think about it, we abide in him. We go and care for those people that we may know or those people as we go, as we meet strangers. And we share our story with them, which is the story of how Jesus has redeemed us. And as some respond, we help them grow as making disciples and how to gather into either an existing body of believers and assimilate well, or if they're not comfortable, come into our existing group of believers. What do we do then? What's our plan for them? And I've also added here, and we'll talk about at the very end, what does it look like to see that multiply? See even new believers go and lead their families to Christ, who then go lead other families in their own neighborhood to Christ. Wouldn't that be cool? But I want to tell a story to just bring this together, put some meat on this. And I was in finance and had offered to grab lunch with a coworker of mine because I wanted to care for him. And we grab lunch, and I start to just listen to him and just provide myself as a listening ear. I'm hearing all of the things that were going on in his life, with his work, with his new baby, and all these challenges, asking him how that's impacting him. And I just offer to pray for my coworker Luke there at lunch. And I just prayed very briefly and asked God to help in Jesus' name. Amen. And I told him, hey, I don't know if I've ever had a chance to share this with you, but I'd love to tell my story really quickly. So I just shared with Luke my story of how Jesus has saved me. And before I could even finish, he stopped me and said, how do you do that? And I asked Luke, what do you mean? What do you do? How do you do what? And he said, for the past 4 months, I've been going on YouTube channels. I've been going to churches. I don't know how to follow God. And so I told him, well, it's really clear. I can tell you right now. And so as I explained what he must do to be saved, right there at this restaurant, he said this beautiful prayer to surrender his life to Jesus. And he's crying, I'm crying, and I immediately invite him into discipleship. And I tell him, Luke, this is amazing. This is the first step to following Jesus. And my wife and I, we'd love for your family to come over so we can show you how to start to follow him. And he said, we'd love that. And so every week, him and his family, they started to come. His wife came to Christ. His family's being changed. And man, this guy just took off where he started to even gather his own friends and family. He early on told Lindsay and I, or his wife and Luke, they told us, we're ashamed to say, but we don't have any believing friends but y'all. And we told him, that's not a problem. Go tell all your friends who this is that's changing your life. And so a few months later, he gives me a call and says, hey, I got a problem. I already told all my friends and family. A few of them want to follow Jesus. What do I do? And I told him, Luke, just do what we've been doing on Wednesday nights at our house. And so we started to gather friends and family at his place, and even going at like 3 in the morning with a flashlight and a Bible to go to this homeless community behind his neighborhood to lead a small group of homeless guys, led 2 of them to Christ, told them to come live with him so he could disciple them. And just started to just take off for Jesus. But what I did with Luke was, hey, just keep it simple early on. As you continue to grow to be a disciple, you can do exactly what I've done with you. I've just prayed for you. I shared with you. Just simply showed you how to follow Jesus. You can do the same. And so what that simple plan is, we'll start that right now. Does that sound cool?
Yeah.
So where you go, people you may know, your own sphere, people as you go, we use a really helpful tool to just care for those around us. And we just call it care through prayer. And we think of conversation as a helpful tool just to engage with people in normal ways of conversation. And if you think about it, what's the first thing you say with somebody? You see them at work, or you see a family member, and you haven't seen them in a while, or you see a friend, you're having coffee. What's the first thing you're going to say to them?
How are you?
How are you? You all right? How's it going? It's a really strategic question for us as believers. And you get to hear people's circumstances. What's going on in their life? And there's studies that have been put out about Western societies like the U.S. or Europe, U.K. And oftentimes, on an average day, a Westerner will explain some level of brokenness 27 times. 27 times a day, someone is talking about how broken their life is. And it could be real simple, like I missed my alarm, I'm late to work, or I'm tired, whatever it may be. 27 times, that's really key for us. That's a lot of opportunity of people explaining their circumstances. And so as we hear people's circumstances, what's going on, we can ask them then a deeper question. How's that impacting you? Like, you're having a tough time, your newborn's not sleeping, therefore you're not sleeping, Beth's not sleeping. How's that impacting you? And just provide yourself as a listening ear. And this is, as we talk about sharing the gospel and how that's so exciting but very intimidating, this is where we get weird. People aren't being asked this question. People aren't being intentional with one another. And so as we ask, how's that impacting you? Oftentimes I'll hear, well, I haven't thought about it, or no one's ever asked me that. And so we're just extending the love of God through asking a simple question. How's that impacting you? Listening in, and they're sharing how it is. And then you provide yourself as a demonstration of the gospel, asking them, how can I help? What can I do? Bring you coffee, like help your family, cook you a meal, like give you a ride, you have a flat tire, something. How can I help you? And we live in a very polite society, so most people will say, oh, it's fine, thank you for offering, it's very kind. But still they know you're serious about helping them. And from there, this is a chance for us to connect them with the living God so he can help them and ask them, again, a very simple question. I'd love to briefly pray and ask God to help you with that. Can I do that right now? Briefly pray. A 5-second prayer will be answered, I promise. And for you prayer warriors out there, I love it whenever we can pray and intercess for other people. But in front of someone who may, that might not be a normal thing, we can just say a quick 5-second prayer. God, help my coworker Luke with his practice and with his baby. In Jesus' name, amen. And God can use that type of prayer. So we're saying a brief prayer and letting them know what to do next. Because if someone's being asked this question, they're probably not often getting asked if they can be prayed for if they're far from God. And actually, believers, we don't ask that very often with each other. We say, I'll pray for you, and I don't know about you, but if I say that to someone who's another fellow believer in Christ, I forget whenever I walk away. So pray right there, even with brothers and sisters. And so we pray, let them know, thank you for letting me pray. We say the next thing. And then from there, again, we love connecting and caring for them, but we want them to really know why we are doing this and what God wants to do in their life. And the follow-up question is, hey, could I share a brief story with you real quick? Or next time I see you, or could we get together sometime? I'd love to share an encouraging story with you. Okay, we went through that quick. Mm-hmm. But this is just a framework to have in our minds. It doesn't have to be like robot engineer. You ask this question, then ask this question, ask this question. It's just a helpful framework for us to be thinking how to go deep with people and care for them. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Got circumstances, impact, help, and pray.
And hopefully just showing you what's already happening in conversation. We get that question a lot. It's like, how do I make it organic? And you can just use organically what you're already doing. But we've just found when you have something really simple, prepared, you'll use it. And you'll start to notice, oh, people do talk about how annoyed they are really often or how tired they are really often. Another practical tool that we've realized is that you might have to say, like, yeah, I just want to pray right now really fast. I won't do anything weird. We say that a lot. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm just going to stare at the ground. Or you can just stare over my shoulder. Tell them what to do with their eyes is really helpful. I'm not going to pull out a prayer rug. And saying nothing super Christianese in the prayer. We'll model that in a second. Because it's just not the time for a sermon. And we're also modeling for them how pagans babble, but we don't have to. And then also, Colin mentioned this, is that after the prayer, they don't know what to do, right? They're going to be like a little unsure. And so it's helpful that you assert your authority as the believer in the situation and you say the next thing. And so that's why we've given you, it's helpful to say, hey, thanks for letting me pray. Because you're going to need to know that the next thing said needs to come from you. So we're going to model it really fast, what that looks like.
Yeah.
No, let's not start with the door. Let's start with the conversation.
Start with the conversation?
Yeah,
okay.
Because that's what we just talked
about. Yeah, so we'll model what this could look like so y'all get to watch us have this conversation. Okay. Let's do the coworkers, is just a good one.
Yeah, we're coworkers.
Yeah.
We're at work.
Okay. Yeah.
We're co-working.
Yes. Hey, Lindsay, it's good to see you.
Hey, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, I'm not much, just ready to get the week started.
Yeah.
How's it going? How are things going?
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, anything going on? Family or what's going on with work?
No, it's kind of busy.
Okay.
Yeah, last week I took off a Friday, so I have basically
busy week this week.
6 days of work to do this week,
okay.
So I'm just kind of
so it's
going to
impact your week with craziness.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like my inbox is insane right now. But
Is there anything? Because my week's kind of light this week. Is there anything I can do to help? Like I don't know. Anything at all, but
that's really nice.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but
okay.
That's nice of you to
totally
ask.
Just let me know if you think of anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Colin.
Well, but I would love to just briefly pray and ask God to help you with this week. Would that be cool?
Oh, like right now?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll just look down at the ground real quick and say a quick prayer.
Sure, if you want to, go ahead.
Great. God, thank you for my coworker Lindsay. I pray that you bless her week, help her to have the energy and everything she needs to get through this week and to get through all that she needs to. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was really nice.
Yeah, thanks for letting me pray.
Yeah, no one's ever asked me that before. That was really nice, though.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Weird.
Well, I've got I've got to go, but maybe not this week, but next week we could get together sometime. I'd love to share an encouraging story with you.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Sure. Just send me an email.
Yeah.
That'll be easier.
That works for me too.
Yeah.
Thanks, with your
Colin.
Full inbox. Yeah.
Make it so.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. That was really casual, right? And we'll get that sometimes, like, that was weird. But then actually that's an awesome time to just open up conversation, like, yeah, have you ever had someone do that before? Or pray for you?
Yeah, I want to briefly share a story and then we'll have them. So I worked at Google in London, this was my entry strategy with all of my coworkers because I just noticed that it was HR safe, and it was really effective in caring for people. When I say effective, I really do mean people feeling cared for, because that's the first step, right? While I was in the office, I cared for over 90 coworkers, offering prayer in this way, and not a single coworker in London or in Dublin, because I worked in both offices, ever said no when I asked if I could pray in the office. And one specific story is that a gal, when I was just chatting with her, it came up that her purse was stolen the night before. And so I asked her if I could just briefly pray and ask that God would return her purse to her. And she says, oh, I'm an atheist. And I said, that's okay. It doesn't offend me if you don't mind if I could still pray. She's like, well, yeah, I'll take all the prayer I can get. So it wasn't a barrier. She just didn't want to offend me. Like, she really wanted me to know I'm an atheist. And I was like, that's not bad for me. Oh, it's bad, but, you know. And so she let me pray right then and there, and she had tears in her eyes when I looked up. And I was like, what's going on? Like, what are you feeling right now? Just ask, like, you know, I'm noticing. And she said, oh, nothing. I don't know. I guess it's been a long day. Wall up, okay? Mm-hmm. Respected. And I said, well, let me know if there's anything I can do. And I already offered help, right? I already offered to pull out cash for her or whatever. The next day, she emails me and she says, Lindsay, oh my gosh, your prayer worked. An atheist just said, my prayer worked. My purse was returned to me with all of the cash in it last night. This is crazy. And the day before, I had asked her if another time I could share a story with her. And she said, I would love to hear whatever story you're talking about. So we got together that day, and I shared with her the story, which we'll go into, which is actually a story from the Bible. And as I'm sharing it, she starts crying, and we just spend the rest of the afternoon talking about Jesus and how he's changed my life. So it was really helpful to have something to say when she told me that her purse was stolen. And not only that, she hasn't surrendered her life to Jesus yet, but if nothing else, she has her purse back. So with that being said, we want you to write down three places that you're going to go in the next week. And think like supermarket, your home can be one, that's fine. Work can be one. I just named your three. Everyone is going to those three places in the next week. And next to the three places that you write down three faces that you know you will see there. So it could be neighbor, coworker, or you could have a specific name. Okay, but three faces you know you will see at those three places. It doesn't matter. Yeah, just anyone. Yeah. Okay, it's okay if you're not quite finished. If you haven't noticed, we're setting goals already. We're sneakily having you set goals. But I want you to, we want you to now turn to your partner and tell them one person that you know you'll be seeing in the next week and tell them briefly who they need to pretend to be because you're going to practice on them having a conversation and praying for them. Okay, so in the same way that Colin and I just made fools of ourselves, you get to. It's the good news. So we're going to practice. It's worth it. It's worth it. We're going to practice having this conversation right now. And we'll give you about 2 minutes each. Each partner get a go at it, okay? Who wants to run, everyone? That's okay. Do it. It's okay.
I'm probably not going to say anything. But if I'm prepared with something, at least a framework like this, then I can at least pray, God help me, even though I'm sweating whenever I'm talking to this person. Help me and let the Holy Spirit speak through you if you're prepared. So practice, practice, practice. That's why we're letting y'all do that here. Mm-hmm. But I was going to tell a brief story about another scenario, which we know that not everyone's going to say yes to prayer, and that's okay. But we also find that if they don't say yes initially, that doesn't mean they're not open. I was walking around central London with a friend of mine who works at Accenture, a consulting company, and we were just taking our lunch break just to go care for people. And so this guy sitting outside the office in downtown London went up to him, and he was totally busy. I could see on his phone he's like writing this long email out. And so I went up to him and said, I apologize for interrupting, but we're just taking our lunch break to care for people. Is there anything I could pray and ask God to help you with? And he kind of looked at me and said, no, I'm good. And I followed up with, that's great. Could I just pray that God would continue to bless you? Because if everything is good, then that's only from God, so let's go with that. And so he said, yeah, sure. And so I just prayed, in Jesus' name, would you just continue to bless this guy? Amen. And he said, why did you do that? And we let him know, well, God's just really impacted our life, and he just helps us just to bless other people. And then he opened up and said, okay, it's about to get real personal, real fast. Is that okay? Yeah, let's go for it. And so he opens up and says that his girlfriend, she's been really struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts and doesn't know, has been really, really having a bad time. And he hasn't found out how to help her, and he really wants to, but he doesn't know what to do. And he said, what would you suggest? And I got to share a little bit more about my story, what God's redeemed me from. And he was like, okay, so what's the first thing I should do with my girlfriend? How can I help her? And so we share a story from the Word of God about how Jesus really helped somebody who was in an emotional state. And he said, where can I learn more about that? And we said, actually, would you come inside so we can continue to show you? So he followed, this stranger follows us back into the office to learn more about how he can help his girlfriend and how he can learn more about what Jesus can do in his life. And he was just really keen. We reconnected after that, but just because I was offering prayer.
Wow.
So, but that's the no I'm good. We call that just the no I'm good. So no I'm good doesn't mean no. It means you may need to ask something else again to give them opportunity to respond because you're asking them for prayer, which is really weird. Does that make sense? So we're going to model a no I'm good real quick.
Yeah, Karina and I are going to. She's my friend. She is my friend. Karina, how's it been going?
Yeah, okay. Good, Lindsay. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't seen you in a while. What's new?
I've been doing a new job. That's been really great. Been really busy getting into the new work, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
It's been really busy. How's that been impacting like your family and stuff?
Yeah, okay. They've been really good. They know it's a new job, so you know, my husband's been cooking the dinner and looking after the kids. He's great.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's no way I can actually help you, but I would just love to pray that God would continue to like bless your job and also help with like the stress levels and stuff. Would that be okay if I just prayed right now for you really fast?
Hey, no, you don't need to do that. I'm okay, thanks. That's really kind, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm good.
Well, if anything changes, you just let me know. If you do need something, you know you can come to me.
Yeah, sure, I do, Lindsay. You're such a great friend. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, tell me more about the job. Oh my gosh, we're changing the subject now.
Okay, yeah, it's great. I'm giving you this new idea.
Great. It's perfect. So her no, I'm good was... Because I asked her specifically if I could pray over something specifically, and she said no. And so I said, that's no problem, of course. Just let me know if that changes. And we just kept talking. The no, I'm good that Colin was talking about was when we approach someone and they're taken off guard and they just don't know what to say. So they're just like, oh, no, I'm good, or no, I'm blessed, because that's a really common answer. But we'll go over that in a second. What we want you to do now is practice again. But we want you to give each other a very kind... No, I'm good. Not an offended no. And then feel each other out as to whether it's a no, I'm good, and you can just ask a prayer for blessing, or whether you need to step off. So practice that right now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to move quickly. So, Colin mentioned that we spend lunch breaks going out with other people who work in suits in the financial district offering prayer. So you might have noticed that that looks different than circumstances impact help, because we're approaching people out of the blue in London. And so we call care through prayer with circumstances impact help. That's more for those you know, right? Because you're having a conversation with them. But there's another tool we have for as you go. And it's really just one line. And my favorite way to learn it is by all repeating it together. So speak this with me in the blue.
Is there anything you or your family needs that I can pray and ask God to help you with?
I recognize it ends with a preposition, that bothers me too, but it's just the most reasonable way to say it, okay? So, some English people know. Is there anything that you or your family needs that I could just briefly pray and ask God to help you with? This line has saved me so many times when I'm feeling this fire, like God is like that person, Lindsay, that person. But he hasn't given me a specific word for them, or I'm not really sure why, but I must approach them. Or just as I'm going, I'm like, oh, Lord, I love you. I want to care for people. Here, a woman standing alone. Hey, I know this is weird, but is there anything that you or your family needs that I could just briefly pray and ask God to help you with? What is your assumption is the most common response when we do this on the streets in London, literally every day?
No,
I don't mean to say you're wrong, but you're wrong. Actually, the response is, oh, wow, really? A little bit confused. Sometimes they'll ask us why. Wait, what? Why? But most commonly, they're like, oh, that's so nice. But I'm good. So you say, yeah, I guess I'm good. And so then our response is what?
That's great.
That's awesome. Could I just maybe pray that God would continue to bless? Just pray a blessing over you then? The hands down, almost 99% of the time they say, well, yeah, I would never turn down a blessing. No matter what religion, no matter what background, that is the most common answer. So Colin and I are going to model that because simply it is what you will find the most often. Okay.
So let's begin.
Well, oh, yeah, but he's my, yeah, let me be your waitress. I'm his waitress. Does that sound weird? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is your fish and chips. Is there anything else you need?
No, this is great.
Okay.
Before you go, I'd love to just pray over my meal. Is there
okay.
anything I could pray and ask God to help you with as well?
Oh wow, that's so nice.
Yeah.
That's weird. No one's ever asked me that before.
Cool.
But no, I think I'm okay.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Could I just pray that God would continue to bless you?
Well, yeah, sure. Go
okay.
ahead. Yeah.
I can do it real quick, or if you need to go.
Oh, no, I can stand
okay,
here.
Okay, great. I'll
yeah.
do it real quick. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Lindsay.
Lindsay. Okay.
Yeah.
God, thank you for my waitress, Lindsay. I pray that you bless her day, bless the rest of her day at work. Just show her your kindness today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I have chills. That was so nice.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got to pray.
Okay, well,
yeah.
let me know if you need anything.
Okay, yeah, next time you come by the table, I'd love to share a quick story with you.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's
okay.
a really reproducible one if you go to restaurants
yeah.
ever.
So let's have you practice one more no, I'm good. Like, just if you had practice the opposite scenario on the no, I'm good than the one you just did. That sound good? Or just if
no.
you picture.
I understand.
We need you to practice a no, I'm good. So think of a scenario. If you have one on your list of a place that you're going where you can, or if you think of something else to model
you
that
didn't
you're
mention. Do you want them to use this?
Yes.
Okay, so use this line. So it's a walk-up scenario. This is an as-you-go scenario. And we want your partner to give the I'm good. Okay.
Yes, that's what I was, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Go for it.
Go. You just had to mention this. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I'm not going to be around.
Okay, we wanted to show you just one more thing with this tool, just to get you thinking of how it can be applied. Trina, do you mind being our neighbor real fast? And you can just answer however you want to.
Okay, Karina is our neighbor.
Yeah.
That's the scenario, yeah.
We actually just moved into a different flat in London, so this is very realistic.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Hi, I'm Lindsay. This is my husband, Colin.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
I think I've seen you guys around.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we just moved into flat 79.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're neighbors. Great.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I'm Marie.
Oh, it's nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you. Yeah.
We just wanted to come around and meet our neighbors and let you know we're here.
Oh, great. That's great. Do you want to come in for a cup of tea?
Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks.
So
I've only got like 10 minutes. I got to
watch.
But just just quickly
gosh.
Have a cup of tea. Yeah,
cool.
It's just nice to meet you. Nobody ever says hello in this block of flats, so it's great.
I know. I'm so glad. You're so much nicer than all the other neighbors
have. Because are you American or something?
Yeah.
You're British people that just not like that. You know?
We hear that.
Yeah, but really,
we wanted to just bless you and we'd really love to know, is there anything that you or maybe your family needs? We'd love just to pray and ask God to help you and your family.
Oh, wow. You could like praying people.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really pray myself, but if you want to pray, that's okay. Yeah, my little boy is just starting a new school, so
pray
for that.
Would it be okay with you if we just pray right now really fast?
What, now?
Yeah, I'm not going to do anything weird, but just 10 seconds. I'd love to pray for your son.
Okay, yeah, you go for it.
What's his name?
His name's Joel.
Okay. God, thank you for Marie and Joel. I pray that you would bless him as he starts this school, and I pray that they would know how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah,
thanks so much. Well, we've run out of time now, so you've got to go, but...
How it's been really helpful for us meeting our neighbors, just going around and saying like, hey, we're in the block. If you haven't just moved to a new flat, then what we used when we learned this tool is that we just said, hey, we're your neighbors. I'm so sorry we've never come and met you, but I just wanted you to know we're here. And we'd love just to bless you. And so is there anything you need that we could just pray for? And so that's how we've met our neighbors. Yeah.
And I want to share one more story and then we'll end it.
I want to share so many
But just to share... We can do this and just believe what God can do through it as we give away the kingdom. We had met another neighbor named Sergio in our old neighborhood who was actually on house arrest. We didn't know this at this time. But we let him know, hey, we're neighbors and just love our neighborhood and want to bless people. Is there anything we can pray and ask God to help you with? And he doesn't tell the whole story, but he says, yeah, it's just been challenging right now with family and with all kinds of things. So we pray really quickly for Sergio and let him know, hey, we know we're interrupting, but we'd love to come back another time, hear more of your story, and just share a quick story with you. So next time that we come back, we share the story of Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus with him, and just use that as a transition to share our story and what Jesus has done in our life. And that second time we saw Sergio, he gives his life to Christ. And he starts then telling us more about his story, and we let him know, we want to help you start to grow, to be a disciple of Jesus. Can we just start coming over? Because we found out he can't leave because he's on house arrest. So we start coming over. And the second time, the third time we see him, let him know, okay, remember when I just shared my story really quickly? You have the same story, what Jesus has done in your life. How about we practice that? And he couldn't read or write, so we have to use a tool with him, and I'd say with anyone and everyone who's a new believer, something that's simple and reproducible. And so we literally just showed a gospel tool just with symbols. And he picked it up real quickly, practiced a couple times. And he said, I actually have 5 coworkers I want to share this with like this week. And I told him, great, let's go for it. And so I prayed for him. And then I saw him a few days later. And I asked Sergio, how'd that go, sharing your story? And he said, I shared with all 5 of them. And 4 of them gave their life to Jesus. What do I do next? And I told him, just invite him over. And so we started to meet at his home and just simply learn how to be church together at his home with his family. He had a big family and with his coworkers. And he continued just to grow and gather people around what he knew what to do with how to make disciples. And this was just something simple, guys. And just to show you what we've been doing this training, we were training you in such a way because of your influence. All of us in here have influence and are making disciples or influencing people. And we were kind of shooting over your shoulder, showing you how you can train to help others live in their identity as ambassadors, as priests, as disciple makers. and how easy it can be early on. So just to say, keep it simple, keep it reproducible, that even a new believer like Sergio, who can't read and write, can obey Jesus, because he has the same identity as I do and the same ambassadorship. And just let people live up to the standard that God's called them to. And so we've only gotten here, and so there's a lot to go. So I guess you have to come find us and figure out what's to come. But we just wanted to give you just a first taste of what it can look like and just how this ropes into the power that God's given us and just how people can encounter that. We've seen people get jobs, people healed, as we've prayed very simply. And that's immediately connecting them with who is this that gave you this power. And we get to share and get to invite them into a path to walk with Jesus as well. And to see what God can do to multiply our ministry and disciples around us anywhere and everywhere we go. Mm. Anything you want to add to that?
I'm going
to
pray over us and go.
Yeah.
Jesus, please bring your kingdom through us. Please, Lord, I pray this week for fruit for my brothers and sisters in your kingdom. Would you use us, God? Could we partner with you and see your kingdom come through our coworkers, our friends, and our neighbors? Holy Spirit, we need your boldness. Teach us, Jesus, teach us, how do we die to ourselves like you did? How do we no longer live and not care what the responses are because we just have our eyes on you?
Yeah.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.